Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Ziegenkopf have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Hull, shoots, scores! Bobby Hull!
Dunal trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bork and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men. Cutting for the net, he's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of the net, a shot! Desjardins following the play, and he misses the short cut. Here he is again! Scores! Desjardins!
Hockey fans, you're listening to the hard-checking, kick-saving, sudden-death scoring NHL Breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined as always by George Kurtz of RotoExperts.com, where we're bringing you all the on- and off-ice action, as well as keeping you fans and you fantasy owners fully informed at the top of your respective leagues with our fantasy reports, including the IR, goalie, waiver wire recommendations, and line updates for you. Today is, of course, October 26th, Friday, wrapping up another week of fantasy hockey and NHL hockey. And George, of course, we're going to have the fantasy reports as always for each show, but I kind of want to start out today's show talking a little bit about rookies, or at least some more notable rookies that we either heard some hype about before the regular season started, or in the first few games, first week or so of the season, kind of made a little bit of a name for themselves, or at least people took notice for one reason or another. And I want to sort of bring this up now because we're most of the NHL teams, there's still a few out there that are under this, but most of the NHL teams have now played 9 to 10 games. And for those who might not be thinking about it or might not be aware off the top of your head, for an entry-level contract, before that contract starts expiring actual time, a player has to play more than 9 games. So a lot of times, we see it every year, a young player plays 8, 7, 9 games, ends up getting sent back down to the minors or down to juniors because the team says, okay, you're just not ready yet, or we don't want to burn the first year of contract for whatever reason. We're stacked lineup. We don't need you. Or you just need more time, need more seasoning. You know, so it's sort of at this point where we're sort of making some decisions on some younger players. So this is in part to ask maybe if a few of these guys, George, if you think that they're going to be demoted or if they're going to stick with their team all year, but also, are these guys going to be a real factor? Now, obviously, we're focusing a bit on the fantasy, but even not from necessarily fantasy. I don't want to hold you hard and firm to that. You know, obviously, I want to know if you think they're going to be worthy in a fantasy league, but are they going to make a legitimate contribution to their team, even if they're not fantasy relevant yet? So I have a whole bunch of names here. Not all of them I'm going to ask you about. But we'll take it in alphabetical order as we usually do. And the first one that comes up is one of the more interesting names because this is a player who was not expected, didn't have a lot of pre-hype, was not expected to make the team and had a great preseason, forced his way onto the team even above and beyond this team's injury situation. I'm talking about the Anaheim Ducks, talking about Max Kontois. Started out the season, particularly his first few games, a bit on fire. He's got 2 goals and 5 assists in 10 games for the Anaheim Ducks. There's also Lundstrom there, too, but based on the way that they've been using him and the fact that he's been stuck in the bottom 6 and the fact that he hasn't got regular playing time, it seems logical he's going to be demoted once they get a little bit healthier, which should be sooner rather than later, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But, George, like I said, here you have a rookie who was nowhere on the map. It wasn't like he was Dahlin or a Mittelstadt, where Mittelstadt was at least expected to make the club. Dahlin, ooh, he's generational talent. Is he going to be great right off the bat? Not like some as well as a couple other players who had a lot of fanfare. This guy comes out of nowhere, starts the season really well, hasn't pointed in the last couple of days, but that's only the last couple of games. It's not like he hasn't scored. It's not like he scored a lot of points the first 3 games and then went silent, you know. Kontois, George, what do you think about him? I mean, do you think he's likely to stay with the club? Well, I guess he is going to stay with the club because it's played 10 games, so that's off the map, but do you think he's going to stay relevant? I mean, he's had this nice initial chemistry with Henrique, But this team is not that far away from getting a few guys back, Eves and Case in particular. Silverberg, although he was officially put on the IR, that seemed to be sort of like an administrative move so they could take some guys off the IR pretty soon. So he's not expected to be out all that long. So you got these guys coming back. So do you think that's, you know, Comtois has made himself relevant enough that he's not just going to be brushed aside when these guys come back? Or is it too iffy of a situation and you're talking about rookies, so you sort of can't make that move to say, hey, I want this guy in my fantasy team? George, Ducks, Comtois, what's your impression?
Yeah, I don't see him staying with the team. Now, he's out with an injury right now anyway. He's day-to-day. It's not considered serious, but he still didn't play last night with an injury. You mentioned Case, Patrick Eves, Corey Perry, Jacob Silverberg. Perry's out long-term yet, but the other guys should be back shorter, possibly. And that'll push him to make some roster decisions there. And he's not considered a top prospect. Second-round pick in the in the draft 2 years back. He's not someone you're going to push for playing time. And I just don't see him because once these guys are back, once they're healthy, all right, who's he playing over? You know, I don't think it's just going to happen. I think they're going to set him down. Probably, I guess they'll call it to get more seasoning, whatever you want to call it, that's what they'll do here. Should they set him down, it's probably a different story. Like you said, his numbers are pretty solid, and the Ducks need help. Because even when these guys are healthy, they still have some – yeah, it's really a situation where if he's one of the, you know, top 12 forwards, I think he should play. I don't think he should be sent down for usually call them political reasons, whether it's because, these guys have larger contracts, they have to play, they have veterans over the rookie, or some of the garbage we hear about all the time. But the bottom line is this. He's hurt right now, so it's not a decision to make. He's got a lower body injury. It's only considered day-to-day, but we've seen day-to-day turn into week-to-week. So we don't know when he'll be back. These other guys should be back eventually as well. He's already played the 9 games, so they're not worried about that. No, I don't think he can help your fantasy team, and I don't think he's staying with the team. Because even if he does stay, he's not going to be in the top 6 role. Not going to be the first-line power play unit. Maybe not no power play time at all. So there's a rub there. He's a left wing. Case, he's a left wing. So he's going to get that second-line role. That pushes him down to a top 9. Case is out with a concussion, so those could be tricky. We don't know exactly when. But it's already been 2 weeks. I would assume it's got to be soon. Patrick Eves also a left wing. He's got the a shoulder injury, and there's no timetable for when he should return. But he shouldn't be out all that long either. Once again, we don't know here. So this is the problem here about trying to figure out when he's going to come. Bottom line is this: don't think he's going to be able to help your team all that much anyway. And as soon as one of these guys returns, he can go down. When they both return, he's definitely down.
Yeah, I think that realistically, I think that puts it pretty succinctly for the Ducks. I wouldn't sort of completely cross them off the list, because for one thing, Nick Ritchie has never been able to really solidify a top 9 spot in this team. He has that opportunity this year, but my point is that if you look at the last couple of years, he plays well enough to be on the NHL team, but he might not be able to justify being in that top 9, so that leaves a little bit of an open door for Comtois if he comes back from his day-to-day injury and keeps playing well, because I got to believe that Eves is probably going to get a chance on that top line when he returns. Might not be the first game or two. Might take a couple of games for him to shake off the rust, but I do envision Carlisle putting Getzlaff, Raquel, and Eves together to at least see if they work like they did last year. So I expect that. Wouldn't be surprised if Silverberg eventually finds his way back in line with Ryan Kessler and Cogliano. And then Henrique and Kase had a nice chemistry last year, so that leaves that left wing spot on depending on whether you want to debate whether the Henrique line is the second line or the third line. I don't even know if it matters for this conversation. But I think ultimately it leaves that left wing spot with Henrique and Kase a toss-up between Nick Ritchie and Comtois. So at the end of the day, I think I still agree with you, George, that in all likelihood he's not worth or is not likely going to be fantasy-worthy long-term, particularly in standard leagues. In deeper leagues, 12 team leagues, and certainly even larger than that, there might be a little bit of a toss-up. So it's not necessarily like a completely cut bait. He's a player I'd keep on my watch list if I picked him up because of the early – I needed to fill some holes early season, especially with the injury. I do think it's legitimate to drop him if you not want to drop him right away and see what happens when these guys come back. I get it, but I think more than likely you're probably right. But I wouldn't like I said, I'd keep at least my watch list just to see, depending how things play out over the next month. All right, George, one of the guys who did get a bit of hype, and actually I don't know if he quite belongs in this list because he's not, you know, a complete rookie, at least in terms of he's played more than 10 games in the NHL, so his first year of his contract is, counting. But Donato for the Boston Bruins, a lot of us assumed he was starting the year on the second line with Krejci and DeBrusque, and actually he did. The first two, three games he was there, and he basically did nothing. He's played nine games. There isn't any issue with him being possibly sent down, at least in terms of the ECL implications, although if he plays badly enough, I guess he could still be demoted. But just one goal for a guy who had a nice 12 games last year and then looked reasonably good in the playoffs. So when you look at Donato, George, I got to imagine – you're going to say he's not worth having on a fantasy roster right now, but is he a guy that you're still intrigued of, that you're going to keep your eye on throughout the year because you think he can eventually roll up to that top nine or top six spot again? Or this just is a case of you're not wasting your time thinking about him until he puts up points and forces himself into your consciousness? So Donato, is he still a guy to keep an eye on or brush him aside for now?
You know, there's always a whipping boy for each team, and Donato seems to be it for Boston. It moves all over the place, second line, third line, fourth line, benched. Yeah, there's always somebody that seems to get the blame when things aren't going well, and right now it's Donato for Boston. You throw that in the fact where, you know, we said this all along, they're a one-line team. Even if Donato's on the second line, how much would you care? And he's not playing with great players, not playing with Bergeron, not playing with Marchand, not playing with Pasternak. You know, they go with that top line, which is one of the best in the NHL, if not the best. And the second line is sort of hodgepodge. You know, they're making things up as they go along here. You know, mixing and matching. Right now it's Hainen, Krejci, and DeBrusque. That's a third line. But that's what they're using for a second line here. So you have to ask yourself, do you even care when Donato's on the second line? Would you feel any better if it was Donato, Krejci, and DeBrusque? I mean, it's still going to be a line that scores a lot of goals here. So is he even worth a roster spot? He's certainly not worth starting, but is he worth a spot on your bench? That's a question each league can answer, depending on how deep your bench is, depending on how many other left wings and or forwards you have on your bench, or wings, however your league breaks it down. I think he's a player who can play, yes. So I do have faith in him, but Boston seems to get upset real quick. You know, it took a couple of games into the season. It's not working out. They're moving people around again. I always think this is a bad thing to do. I think you need to give players some time. I'm not saying for every situation it's the wrong thing. Yeah, it could be a reason why certain coaches move people around. You know, it's obviously not working out. Players not working hard, whatever it might be. But when you see so many coaches doing it so quickly, it can't be right all the time. So that you need to let these players play. You just mentioned, it's not like Donato's had a whole lot of time with anybody. You know, he's barely been up here in the NHL. Smattering of games last season, the playoffs, now a smattering of games this season, and they're bouncing things all around here. But he does seem to be the whipping boy of Boston when things go wrong. You know, rightfully deserved or not, I'm just pointing it out, that he seems to be the guy that everyone's blaming, that the coach is blaming. You know, it seems like every team has this. There's always that player that gets blamed. And Donato's it for Boston. So I do like the talent. I do like the player. But I keep asking myself this. Does it matter? In your standard 10-team league, is this someone you should be holding on to? Probably not. The talent says yes, but everything else says no.
Yeah, I think certainly here at the beginning of the season, especially if you draft him late in your draft, or you picked him up off the waiver wire right after the draft because you expect him playing on top six, I get it, but I think people should heed your warning. Of the players that are looking to probably be plugged into that sixth spot, because we know DeBrusque and Krejci are pretty much set, regardless of how good or not good that they are producing, they're pretty much set as your second line pair. So it's just a matter of finding that right wing to play with them. I do think eventually over the season, Donato gets another long look, if not, takes the space legitimately by earning it, because I think he's got the most offensive upside of really all the players on the rest of the roster outside of that top line. You know, so I do think that this is just the organization and Cassie not being happy with how Donato's playing and how he's producing, and sort of going to make him earn his way back up to that spot. So, again, I think it's a watch list situation, because I do think he's going to get that opportunity, even though that second line actually is playing a little bit better the last three games since Heinen's been playing there. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Still, I just think Donato's got the higher offensive upside, so he's going to get that opportunity. So keep an eye on him, but I certainly don't think, even in a deeper league, George, you mentioned in the standard league, how can you justify having him on your bench? I don't think you can in any way, shape, or form, but even in a deeper league like a 12-team league, I think he really stretches legitimacy in terms of being on your roster, on your bench, even in a league where you have a roster size that's about NHL size, where you have 19, 20, 21, 22 size for your roster. I think right now it's a little bit of a question mark. But, again, because of the offensive potential there, and you, like you just said, I like the player, I'm sort of keeping an eye on him because I think he'll get the opportunity eventually once again. All right, talking about fanfare, certainly the biggest fanfare, or one of the biggest fanfare coming into the season, was from Buffalo, specifically Dahlin. But there's also Mittelstadt, who it seemed like since they brought him at the end of last year and we knew they were sort of reshaping the roster, it looks like they're going to give him a nice long look. They're not just going to cut bait. We're past the 10 games, you know, for Mittelstadt, you know, so there's no issue of him being demoted. But, you know, this guy's supposed to be a little bit of an offensive engine, just 2 assists so far in the first 10 games. Dahlin on the other side, 4 points in the first, 10 games, which, you know, again, looking at Dahlin, you're looking at it through the filter of a defenseman. So 4 points through 10 games, that comes out to about a 33-point season right now. So 4 points isn't so bad, you know. I mean, for a forward, I might be a little disappointed in that. For a defenseman, I'm saying that I think that's pretty solid. So, George, looking at these players and the fact that you know they're going to get a ton of ice time no matter how bad the team is, do you like these guys? Are they must-haves on your fantasy roster? And when I say must-have, I'm really thinking of Dahlin right now rather than Mittelstadt. But obviously I want your take on both of them and how fantasy-worthy you think they either are right now or will become as the season progresses. George?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any rookie in the game that's a must-have. All right, that's usually a very much an overstatement. There are no Connor McDavids here. So, no, there's nobody who's a must-have in the NHL as far as a rookie's concerned. I'm looking at your list here. There's nobody I'm looking at here that, oh, my God, I have to have this guy. Even the guy who might have been the best, who we haven't talked about yet, and I won't divulge that secret, is out with an injury. So, no, nobody's a must-have here. As for Dahlin, what do we always say about the rookie defenseman? It's the hardest of the positions to learn. You know, it takes the longest. Now, that's not to say it's going to take him a couple of years. Maybe it takes him a couple of months, a couple of weeks. You know, you don't know. You're holding him. That's the bottom line. You have, especially with someone like me, I wait long. I wait late to draft my defenseman anyway. You know, so Dahlin is somebody I'll definitely wait on. I generally don't have the whole 4 all-stars that are playing above him, so I can afford to wait on him. Now, Dahlin could also be a problem. He's playing on the Sabres. Not a great team. You know, probably not going to be a great team. Probably not going to be a good team. Maybe not even be an average team. You know, I think the best case scenario for the Sabres is playoff bubble team, which means they're going to have their issues. And I bring that up as plus minus. That's what I'm worried about with Dahlin. He could hurt that. So this may be a case where you want a fifth defenseman eventually to offset that on certain games. Maybe you don't want Dahlin playing the Penguins, you know, playing other high scoring teams where that plus minus might take a beating. You know, we also saw the Penguins drudge Calgary last night, 9-1. I'm sure a lot of us wish we didn't have Calgary defensemen in that game, taking -3s and -4s. So that's a case, especially in head-to-head leagues. But Dahlin, I'm holding on to. I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him. That's the bottom line here. You bring up Mittelstadt. That's another case where he's already got one strike against him because he's a center. And you know where I'm going with this. Center's deep. He's on the third line. Don't need him. Just don't need him. Once again, his best case scenario is moves up to the second line. Right now he's playing with Okposo and Rodriguez. So even if he goes up to the second line, now he's got Cherry and Reinhardt. Not like he's playing with the Seguin there. You know, there's no There's no top wing he's going to play with. I understand wings. Sagi's not a wing. Jimmy Benn, happy now? You know, there's no top wings he's going to play with here that, you know, give him a whole bunch of points if he gets there. Yes, he is an offensive playmaker. I think he'll get better. I do. It's the position, which means there's no reason for me. I can find other centers. I just don't need to. And once again, we're talking here about redraft leagues. You know, if you're going to bring up keeper leagues and dynasty leagues, that does change the dynamics somewhat. Specifically, dynasty leagues, so I'll change it. Keeper leagues, I assume you can do better in keeper leagues anyway. But that would, like I said, it would change the dynamics somewhat of who you should be playing here, who you should be letting go and keeping and all that. But bottom line is, because of the position, and if we talk about any center here, I'm almost certainly going to say the same thing. I'm going to know of a veteran or five veterans that I'd rather have, that I can rely on and count on more, rather than take an upside play. And let's face it, Middlestat, what is the upside? It's not a major upside. So there'd be very little reason for me to keep Middlestat. Once again, the negatives outweigh the positives.
All right, moving on, at least passing over the Calgary Flames. They have a couple of rookie defensemen in Valimaki and Remus Anderson. Now, the only thing interesting here, and I'm actually not going to throw this to you, George, I know Anderson's going to stay on the club, but now that Hamonic is returning, Valimaki might get sent down, and the only which would be the smart move, in my opinion, because he's going to get pushed out of the lineup, and he's too young and too good not to play regularly and have him be your seventh defenseman. But the interesting thing is he is one of their two or three best defensemen so far in the young season, so it sort of complicates matters at least a little bit. But that's the expectation with the Calgary defensemen. Another guy who was highly hyped, at least in terms of the draft, not necessarily with, you know, being a 50-goal scorer this year, but the second overall pick, Svetnikov for the Carolina Hurricanes, made the team. That really wasn't too much of a surprise considering, you know, the transformation that organization is going through so far in this first nine games. I don't think there's any real worry that he's going to be demoted. Now would be the time if it was going to happen. But two goals, two assists, playing regular minutes on the third line and getting number one power play time. Also, another rookie, Nekas, was made the team, but he has already been demoted. I think they view him as a top two line center in the future. Just doesn't look like he's ready for this year. But Svetnikov, George, you know, 4 points in nine games. It doesn't blow you away, but it's nice production. He is, as I said, not in the top six, but he is regularly getting valuable ice time, playing regular third line minutes, and as I said, getting power play time. Is he a guy that you're at least intrigued in, even though he's a rookie and and he's not in the top six? You know, he looks like he can be what he's advertised to be, even if it's not quite this year. I'm not saying he's going to be a 40-goal scorer this year, but at least from the early going, I'm seeing that I'm confident he can get 20-plus goals, maybe even more than that. Is that too pie in the sky for you, two rose-colored glasses, don't have enough information to be down with my opinion, or do you like him enough that, okay, I'll have him on my bench at least in a fantasy league? George?
No, Svetnikov is a guy I like as well. You know, my only negative here would be, man, how am I going to get him into a top six role? You know, how am I going to get those minutes up? You know, the right wing Carolina, the players ahead of him are Justin Williams, and he's playing on the first line, and Teravainen. You know, so odds are he needs an injury here. You know, I mean, maybe things can change. Maybe, whatever we see with rookies, that coaches want them to prove themselves. It's still only October 26th, but 9-10 games into the season. You know, maybe Kyron's wants to give him, you know, 20 games before they start moving him up, seeing what he can do, seeing what he can prove himself. You know, does he deserve to play top 6 minutes, that sort of thing. I agree with you said pie in the sky, whatever, rose-colored glasses. I think there's room for 20-plus goals. I do. I think this kid is a good player. I think he'll only get better as he gets accustomed to the NHL and the NHL ice surface and the smaller ice surface. So I like Svechnikov. I do. He's a player I would not release. I may not start him, but he's on my bench. You know, wings have more value than centers. That's where what it comes down to here. Middlestat may be a better overall player, but the wing is more valuable here. So, no, I'm not sending him to the wood chip pile. I'm keeping him on my bench. I would really like for him to eventually get that top six role, but I think he's going to need an injury for it to happen.
I think you're right about that because, you know, Carolina, and again, things can change, especially when it comes to line combinations, things like that. I know you said it recently. I've said in the past, you know, things are very fluid, and more in the NHL, coaches like to change their lines, and it seems like they like to change them quicker rather than not. But in Carolina, they have had pretty much the most set lines in the NHL so far this year. Their top nine has pretty much been rock solid and hasn't changed, certainly since, you know, Furland, you know, had missed a couple of games at the beginning of the season. Outside of that, they've been the same all around. So I actually don't expect the line changes to change unless there is that injury for most of this year. Now, I know that's pretty, you know, a bold statement to say so early in the season, but I think the best that you can expect outside of an injury is him staying on the third line, but being moved up to the number one power play unit rather than the second power play unit where he has been so far. But either way, I think you sort of put it in proper context, at least for me, and what I like and what would be comfortable with when it comes to Svetnikov, George. All right, next on the list is another sort of no-name guy, at least in terms of expectation, but for the Chicago Blackhawks, Cahoon, ends up on the top line with DeBrincat and Jonathan Toews. Jonathan Toews, who is sort of resurrecting his offensive career, at least here in the early going. And Quenneville is known, one of his hallmarks, even when his team is playing really well and one of the best in the league, he tends to move his lines out around on a regular basis. But that top line with those three that I mentioned has stayed together all year long. After the first couple of games and not putting up any points, Cahoon has 7 points in the last 8 games, 7 points in 10 games overall. So, George, there's a lot of good and bad there. Quenneville has the reputation of changing his lines on a regular basis, especially when it comes to young players. But this team, in the first 10 games at least that top line, has played well together and has not been changed at all. I mean, there even hasn't been that many in-game shifts where, you know, Quenneville's been like, okay, we're losing, let me put Kane on the top line with Toews and DeBrincat. That's happened very few times so far in this young season. So because of that, does that give you some confidence, especially with the production you've seen early going, that Cahoon will be at least a nice bench guy right now? Or, again, you need to see more, and it's Quenneville, so you don't trust it. What's your feeling on Chicago Blackhawks and Cahoon, George?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. Do I trust it? No, I don't. But you're riding it. I mean, he's playing with DeBrincat and Toews. You're riding it. The Toews has played well, too. So that's a hot start this season. I know I joked during our draft that the shame a player is Hall of Fame worthy is not fantasy worthy. Well, Toews this year is fantasy worthy. I mean, no, DeBrincat is. He's playing well. You're absolutely right about Quenneville. He has a reputation of changing lines all the time. Not doing it with Cahoon. You know, it's not broken. Don't fix it. It's the way he's working it right now. And I certainly like that strategy. I think he's a player you got to be fluid with. And what I mean is this. You're absolutely starting him right now. He's playing well, playing on the top line. Everything's working. As soon as it's not working, and I'm not saying one game, probably 2 to 3 games. You know, if things are going in the other direction, I'm moving on. It's really that simple here. He's in my lineup as long as he keeps on my top line. As soon as it does start to change, which I think eventually it will, Chicago's playing above their heads right now, better than any of us really expected them to. When they start to become the team that we expected them to be, I start to move on from Cahoon.
All right, I think another smart context that you're putting him in, because I really like him now, but I have that worry about Quenneville, and that the line could be playing well, and then the 6 games from now he's going to change things up. So sort of get it while you're hot kind of thing. Like, you want him on your team, you need him on your team right now. He's a good guy to have, but I liked what you said. I'm sort of keeping him a bit on a short leash and letting him go once things turn, if they do turn. Now, next few guys I have, I'm actually not even sure if I'm going to ask you about it. Just kind of want to sort of mention because they're notable, but I don't know if there's much to talk about here. In Dallas, there's Heiskanen, who I like a lot, George, and I drafted late in a couple of my leagues, and I sort of think he's a long-term good guy to have and good guy that I'm looking for, you know, to possibly develop point-wise as the season develops. But Dallas has sort of really got to figure some things out. I don't think he's going to be sent down. I think he's staying with the team regardless. He does have some points in the last few games, but I don't think I'm running out and getting him now. I don't think I'm necessarily going to drop him on the teams that I have, especially where he's a fifth defenseman. But again, there should be better options on your waiver wire right now. But keep an eye on him because I think he can develop and become a point producer as the season goes along. In Detroit, you have Kulwitzki, which I think is a similar thing. You know, although he started out the season pretty well, but it's Detroit, and if the plus-minus is one of your categories, you're just going to get destroyed. but he is a guy, if you're desperate for some point production, you know, on the defense, he might be a guy to look at and keep on your team, or at least keep on as a streamer guy for your team, potentially, or an injury replacement. Edmonton, again, George, I kind of want to ask you, but I don't think there's much to talk about here. You have Yamamoto and you have Bouchard. Now, starting with Bouchard, he was the really good defenseman that was surprisingly fell to Edmonton and surprised some people that he made the team. But the way that they're using him and the fact that they're waiting for some guys to come back from injury makes it seem likely, and I don't know this for sure, that Bouchard I don't think is going to be with the team long-term for this season. Has a great long-term future. Now, Yamamoto, 9-game audition last year before they sent him down because he didn't do anything last year. And this year, he's sort of been up and down that right wing in Edmonton, third line, second line, and now first line while Ratty is out with McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and just has one goal and one assist in 8 games. I don't think Edmonton can afford to send him down because they got nobody to replace him with, at least anybody who has some offensive potential, but man, you know, between him and Paul Dujarvi, both of them disappointing, being high draft picks and just not really looking like they're developing, has got to be pretty painful for the Edmonton Oilers right now. So I don't think you can really look at either of them as realistic options for your team. Now, in Montreal, George, Kakaniemi, if I even pronounced that right. I know I came pretty close. But it seemed like he made the team because they had some injury issues. And now we're a few games into the season, and I'm hearing whispers that he's staying. 4 assists in 9 games, third line center. What do you think, George? It looks like he's staying, even though we didn't have confirmation on that. Is he pique your interest at all? I mean, I sort of have a sense of what you're probably going to say based on what you said about Mittelstadt, so I don't see how it really changes here. But I'm sort of wondering, considering the tire fire that we expected to be, and we talked on last show how it's not quite the tire fire here early going in the season, but we're still expecting Montreal to be bad. Do you think it's a wise choice to have a rookie like this playing on your third line on a bad team all year? Do you think it better serves him and the organization more long-term to have him go to the minors or go to juniors and play and be a stud, getting the number 1 minutes in that situation? Or like, hey, man, they need centers in Montreal. Put him in there. Let him develop on the NHL stage. Kakaniemi, what do you think, George? Does he have any worthiness fantasy-wise at all? And would you personally keep him or send him down? George?
Not to me, he doesn't. Fantasy-wise, I have no interest in him whatsoever. Same thing. Middlesbrough's a better player. I barely have interest in him. Just a bad position center. I can do better. And even in 11 and 12 team leagues, I can do better, more or less 10 team leagues. So, no, I'll pass there. As for where he should develop, that's, once again, that's an NHL team-by-team basis. Where is your developmental staff? For some NHL teams, their developmental staff is at the NHL level, not at the AHL level, not at the minor league level. Therefore, he's better off there, you know, with the guys who can help him along here. That's something with also-run teams. Well, by those, I mean teams that aren't expected to make the playoffs. That includes the Canadiens, the Blackhawks, Islanders, Rangers, those kinds of teams that are really playing for the future. You need to make decisions based on what's best for the future, not this season. And like I said, for those kind of players, maybe that is at the NHL level. Maybe that is where your best guru at that position is to help this guy along to become a very good NHL player. If not, then he needs to go down to the AHL. You know, I can't answer that for every NFL team, NHL team. That's up to the team itself here. So I don't have a problem with them. Yeah, I think maturity level also plays a part in here. Maybe he's mature enough to play on the NHL and learn up here. No, there is something to be said. You know, it's something we've heard all throughout. No matter what sport you play, you always play better according to the level of your competition. So if you're playing against top competition, you'll get better. You should get better. You know, the only question is you don't want to get overwhelmed, where it's like, you know, and you just lose confidence. It's a balancing game. And the Canadians seem to be playing it right now. Seems to be working out. So I don't mind them keeping him up here. But fantasy-wise, no, I'll pass.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, I think there's absolutely no upside here, you know, partially because of the center's point that you made about how deep center is here. And he hasn't looked out of place, so I don't entirely mind it. You know, it sort of creates a little bit of a glut at forward. As long as that doesn't sort of mess him up and he ends up getting healthy scratched and sitting a lot, I think it's sort of fine, but there's really no fantasy upside here, at least for this season. If you're in a dynasty league, there's some interest there. Not a keeper league for the same reason that you said earlier in the show. Now, wrapping things up, George, the last two guys I want to ask you about are probably the two, at least here in the early going, two most interesting guys from the rookie class, at least from early season production. And interestingly enough, they're both injured. Ottawa's Brady Tkachuk is number one. And despite how bad we're expecting that team to be, George, wow, Tkachuk, just four games that he played, three goals, three assists. Missed the first three, four games because of injury, came back, played well in those four games, and then got injured again. He's going to be out for a month or so, at least at this point now, 3.5 weeks or so, assuming that month diagnosis is correct. And then there's Vancouver's Elias Pettersson, who just five games that he played, five goals and three assists. Now, George, these two guys, obviously, both of them had a little bit of fanfare coming into the season. Obviously, both got injured. Are they just off to a hot start, and these are guys that you want to have on your team in a dynasty or a keeper league, that they might have some long-term value? Or do you think that both these guys can keep up when they get back in the lineup, that is, can keep up the early season teaser production that we've seen, that you're intrigued enough that you can't just let them sit on their waiver wire if they're on your waiver wire in your various leagues? So, George, Tkachuk and Pettersson, how much do you like these guys? And do you think there's any chance that they might be demoted as well? George?
Yeah. Earlier when I said the best player, I think that's Pettersson with Vancouver. Yeah, I think it's a shame he got hurt. You know, really, I think this kid's a keeper all around. Keeper for the Canucks. And Tkachuk is the same way, by the way. If someone in my league would have gotten impatient and dropped either one, and I had if you have an IR spot, you're covered here. But if you don't have IR spots in your league and I had a dead spot on my roster, someone else I could release, I would have taken the chance to pick these guys up and eat in a couple of weeks. They're going to be out for it. They are real players here. Does the injury concern me? It can. Once again, young players, when they get hurt, are they going to be a little shy now? I certainly don't expect Tkachuk to be shy. It's not what's in that family's makeup. Pettersson, I would worry about it a little bit, that maybe he doesn't go into the corners and he'll take those hits. Maybe, but probably not. Hockey players generally aren't that way. So, I'm on board with Tkachuk and Pettersson, both guys. I think they're both keepers fantasy-wise, keepers for the NHL-wise. I think these are players, overall, as far as NHL teams are concerned, you build around. I think these are top-notch players. I'm not talking Connor McDavid's, Crosby's, guys like that. I'm not. But I'm talking good players. We're building pieces. How about that? Building pieces, building blocks for your franchise. So I think these are definite keepers NHL-wise.
Yeah, I think they absolutely agree with you. And to sort of put it further in context, I don't think you're looking at either one of these guys, assuming they both come back sooner than later, and Pettersson, it looks like he will definitely. I'm not expecting like 80 points out of these guys, but I do think both of them are very capable of having 45 to 55 points coming back. And obviously that's going to slot in as a nice second, borderline third tier production guy on your team. So they're going to be valuable for your fantasy team. And if you are in a dynasty or a keeper league, then I think they have, keeper status written all over them. All right, folks, there we have our look at some of the rookies and the more notable ones. Let's turn our attention to the fantasy reports running through the IR lines report. First, we started talking about this a little bit already in Anaheim. Comtois with lower body injuries, got him listed as day-to-day, missed one game. He is questionable for Sunday's game, although this doesn't expect it to be a long-term injury. Nick Ritchie, though, the second game back from signing his extension, upper body injury, left Thursday's game, has got him listed as day-to-day as well. Both Patrick Eves and Case were on the two-game road trip that Anaheim was playing. They're playing their second game tomorrow of that two-game road trip. Neither of them are likely to play during the two games. Obviously, one game played already, but just the fact that they're traveling with the team is a sign of how close that they are, that they shouldn't be more than a couple of games away at most before they re-enter the lineup. So keep that in mind, especially with the conversation we have about Comtois in particular a little bit earlier in the show. When it comes to Silverberg, as I had mentioned earlier, he was moved to the IR, but that looks like it's more of an administrative move to make room on the roster. Still not expected for him to be out much more than a week at most or so before he returns to the lineup as well. In Arizona, Galchenyuk returned from his injury, finally playing, and Chychrun with a knee injury has been cleared for contact. Galchenyuk played his first couple of games, centering Keller and Krause, with Cousins getting some time in place of Krause as well. In Boston, McAvoy with that concussion, listed as day-to-day, missed last three games and is not practicing, so do expect it to be another good week, possibly more. We don't have too much specific information on McAvoy, but do expect, since he hasn't even started practicing yet, it's going to be at least another week, if not longer, before he gets back in the lineup. When it comes to Krug with that ankle injury, he is practicing with the team, and he is practicing with contact. Now, Cassidy would not commit on tomorrow, though he's saying tomorrow is possible, but do expect Krug to return to the lineup for the Boston Bruins sometime in the next couple of games as well. I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show that Heinen playing on that second line with Krejci and DeBrusk, and that line the last three games has been showing some offense, a little bit of an offensive pulse that they can provide, a little bit of that second-tier scoring that Boston needs that George keeps talking about. Heinen does have 3 points in the last four games, just 7% owned. Not telling you to go out and pick him up, but keep an eye on him, especially if this production keeps up. He could be an addition for you later on. In Boston, that Eichel, Skinner, Pommaville line is working pretty well that I mentioned on Monday's show. And Pommaville, I'm not expecting him to be a long-term solution, but if you needed a short-term solution for injury for a couple of games, he is just 5% owned and has three goals, three assists, and a power play goal playing with that top line. In Calgary, as I mentioned earlier, Hamonic has returned to the lineup as well. In Chicago, moving the lines around as they put the Anisimov, Sade, and Kane line together, playing reasonably well. Sade was showing a pulse with a couple of goals the last couple of games. And, Schmaltz moved on out of that top six. Actually, might be playing a little better in the last couple of games since moving to the center of the third line in between Luke Johnson and Fortin as well, because he has 3 points in the last three games. In Dallas, Radulov with the lower body injury listed as day-to-day, has missed the last three games, is expected to play on Sunday's game. On Sunday's game, that's not guaranteed, but that was the expectation that Montgomery expressed earlier today after practice. Nishitskin as well from his lower body injury also returned back to the lineup as well. And Steven Johns looks like he'll make his season debut on Sunday's game as well for the Dallas Stars. In Detroit, Mike Green will be returning tonight from his liver virus issue that he had to start the season. And, another offensive defenseman playing on that bad Detroit team, just sort of keep an eye on him. If you end up needing a defenseman a little bit down the line, he might be a nice emergency replacement for you as well. In L.A., Dustin Brown with that finger injury, he has not been officially cleared yet, but he was practicing on the top line with Iafallo and Kopitar, where he played all last year. He is expected to return on Sunday for the L.A. Kings. In Minnesota, Erickson Ek with an undisclosed injury is practicing with contact with the team and is considered likely, although not definitely, back Saturday. If he's not back Saturday, expect him to return Sunday for the Minnesota Wild. And I wouldn't be surprised if he was given an opportunity on the top line. I don't know this for a fact, but, it has been a revolving door on that right wing next to Stahl and Zucker. Erickson Ek was given an opportunity for a game and a half to play on that line before he got injured, so they might sort of plug him back in. In the meantime, Niederreiter has been moved up to the top line once again. And in Nashville, still looking for that second-tier scoring, that second-line scoring, and Fiala is not providing it. Moved down to the third line. They called up Grimaldi to play with Turris and Craig Smith, at least for the time being. For the New Jersey Devils, Zajac returned and is playing between Quenneville and Wood back for the New Jersey Devils. Bratt, with that jaw injury, did have a doctor's appointment yesterday. There was no official information from that doctor's appointment, but it is believed he should be back in the next couple of games for the Devils as well. For the New York Islanders, Bouvier moved back up the top line with Barzal and Eberle, and I know I don't have too much reason to be too excited for that, but I am kind of interested to see how that line does. I do think Bouvier should be on that top line with Barzal, even though he hasn't really produced much this year yet. And I like, as I said on Monday's show, Eberle being reunited with Barzal as well, so keep your eye on that situation. In Philadelphia, the lines that have been jumbled because of injuries and bad play have sort of taken a look like they were at the beginning of the season, with Konecny moving back up the top line with Couturier and Giroux, that second line of Lindbom, Patrick, and Voracek reunited, and Vorobiev, Simmons, and Lawton playing on your third line. in San Jose. Joe Thornton with that knee injury has been declared out for tonight, but it does look like, we said we didn't know when he's coming back on Monday's show, and that's been widely reported, but it does look like, again, the next couple of games he should return to the lineup for the San Jose Sharks, and as I mentioned once before, do look for a little bit of a domino effect once he does get back in the lineup. In St. Louis, Fabree with that lower body injury is on a conditioning assignment for the team right now. I do expect when he returns to Thomas and Cryer, either one of them or both of them being demoted once he returns. I think St. Louis has been waiting for this pretty much all season. That's the only reason why one, if not both of them, made the team in the first place. In Vancouver, as I teased earlier in the show, Peterson with that concussion issue has been close to returning. He is practicing with the team, still officially on IR, has missed the last six games, and officially questionable for Saturday's game. I believe he will be in tomorrow's game. I don't have confirmation on that, but if he's not, it shouldn't be more than the game after that before he returns for the Vancouver Canucks. For the Vegas Golden Knights, Touch returned, and he landed right on that second line next to Hula and Pacioretty like we thought he would. I skipped over a couple of things for the Canucks. Bozer, with a groin injury listed as day-to-day, missed the last two games, is considered possible for tomorrow's game as well. Barchi, with that upper body injury, has been moved to the IR, as has Edler with a knee injury, and in Edler's case, it looks like he's going to be out for quite a while. In Washington, Tom Wilson's 20-game suspension has been upheld by the NHL, as it should be, and in as I mentioned on Monday's show, Devontae Smith-Pelly taking his spot lately on that top line next to Kuznetsov and Ovechkin. Chandler Stevenson moving down to the second line with Backstrom and Oshie as well. And then just a little tweaking of the lines in Winnipeg as Eller and Connor swapping first and second line left wing spots in Winnipeg. Look for that as well. All right, folks, there you have the IR lines report as we turn our attention to the goalie report, George. So, George, tell us, do we have a lot to report from what's been going on all week between the pipes, or has been a relatively quiet week for a change? Is that a naive hope of mine, that it was a quiet goalie week? What do you have to tell us about goalies around the NHL, George?
All right, goalie is our favorite position here. I guess it was somewhat quiet, so good news there. For the Islanders, they've announced who's going to start Saturday and Sunday. Greece starts versus Carolina on Sunday, which leaves Leonard to start Saturday versus Philadelphia. Not that you're dying for either one anyway. Edmonton, Koskinen is going to start Saturday versus Nashville. Not someone you're ever going to want to put a net there. Winnipeg, now here's somebody you might want to use. You know, we talked earlier this week on Monday about possible goaltending pickups this weekend, and we said, yeah, we just knew when Brossard was going to play. Was it going to be Friday against Detroit or the harder matchup on Saturday, or the, I guess we might say, the matchup we didn't want to go to on Saturday? Ends up being he's going to start Friday. So good news there for you fantasy owners that picked him up early this week. Carolina, they've activated Darling, but Mrazek starts tonight versus San Jose. Not that you want to start either one versus the Sharks anyway, but if you were looking for a start, you're staying away there. So Darling's been activated. Mrazek starts. Well, McElhenney's still there too. So mess. That's really just what it is, mess. Philadelphia got the same problem. Neuwirth was recalled, so he's back, but you still got Picard. Elliott's the starter there. Once again, mess. Nothing pretty there. Both teams are going with three goaltenders right now, which is generally something we don't like. You know, three is just too many here. You know, if you have three, you generally don't have one. That's pretty much what that means. Jersey, Schneider, he's back. I shouldn't say he's back. He's back playing well. You know, with the NHL, he's made three starts down there. I would expect that he gets called up almost any day now to at least be the backup to Kincaid for a game or two before starting. So I think that's about to happen. And Kincaid's not playing well all of a sudden. I think Schneider can get that starting job back almost immediately. I forgot to mention Grubauer going to start versus Ottawa tonight. Once again, getting a bonus there. Grubauer gets the lesser team there, Ronald the stronger one. So there you go. San Jose, Dell's going to start Friday versus I forgot the name of the team. How about Carolina? So lots of options at backup goaltending over the next couple of days. You shouldn't have a problem finding one. Luongo, still considered week to week. I don't know if that's good news or bad news. It's very general. He's been week to week, 2 to 4 weeks since the beginning. So does that mean he's still in that timeline, or has he not gotten any better, where he's still 2 to 4 weeks from this point forward? So it really depends on how you look into it there. But Luongo's certainly not returning, maybe mid-November at the earliest right now. Chicago, Forsberg, was sent through waivers. We talked about that on Monday. He cleared. He's in the AHL. Cam Ward back to Corey Crawford. And there's a lot of rumors going on, Scott, about Bobrovsky that he's not playing well. He has not played well for Columbus so far. Is he worried about the contract? That's what it is. Is he worried about his free agent status? Is he worried about next season? And there are a lot of people talking, not so much Columbus people, but NHL people talking that this is a situation that needs to be resolved. And if that means that he needs to be traded, you know, to a team that will give him that new contract, or if they need to sign to a new contract, whatever it is that needs to be resolved to get his play to perk up. You know, so we'll keep that. Once again, it's a situation to watch there, that he's not playing well. Corposalo played last night, won the game. Not that he played all that great either, but that people are worried that Bobrovsky is concerned about next season. He's concerned about his contract, and his focus is not on today's game.
Oh, wow, that could be really impactful, and some, as you said, a situation to watch. Obviously, if he gets traded, you would think that Corposalo would inherit the starting job unless they get some sort of goalie back, so that's certainly a situation that bears watching, to say the least. All right, George, you know my follow-up question, as always. I feel like you're already given a couple of hints to what the answer might be, but we do have 11 teams this weekend with two games. Six of those teams are in back-to-back situations, so obviously it facilitates the backup goalie start most of the time. So what backup goalies do you think have some nice starts this weekend, or low-owned number one goalies you think might have a nice matchup as well if somebody's looking to stream a goaltender for this weekend, at least in daily lineup leagues? George?
Yeah, we do have options this weekend, so you should be covered here if you guys prefer a goaltender. 11 teams play two games this weekend. Carolina is one of them, but yeah, I don't think you have any of them, you know, because neither one of them is going to give you they're playing well, but neither one's going to give you a volume of starts here. They can rotate between all of them. So I'll pass on Colorado. Passing on Chicago. We talked about Colorado already. Grubauer is going to start tonight versus Ottawa. Leaves Varlamov tomorrow versus Minnesota. Grubauer should probably not be available in any league, because if you're looking for goaltenders on a regular basis and Grubauer's out there, just claim him and keep him. He's going to start more than your average backup. So we talked about this on Monday as well. So Grubauer, if he's out there, you certainly grab. Detroit, no thank you. Edmonton, no thank you. I'm not going to go Koskinen against Nashville. Island has already said that. They're playing Philadelphia and Carolina, two teams that can score goals. No thank you. Ottawa, no. San Jose, you get Dell against Carolina tonight. I mean, it's not a terrible start. He'd certainly be in my top five, but I think I'll pass on that. I think we can do better here. Tampa Bay, we got to like. Well, we know Vasilevskiy's going to get tonight versus Vegas. Now, although they haven't announced it, their pattern has been, back the second half of back-to-back games, it's going to be Domingue. And that leaves Domingue against Arizona tomorrow. And we have to like that start there. So he's my number one goalie to grab there. Louis Domingue from Tampa Bay. I don't love back-to-backs, but it's against Arizona. I'll take my chances there. Vegas, but it's not back-to-back games, or else we'd have more interest in Subban. And Winnipeg, already talked about it. We lucked out here. So they play back-to-back at Detroit, at Toronto. We wanted to avoid that Toronto game, for sure, and we have. You know, Hellebuck will get – I assume Hellebuck plays tomorrow, and they're not going to go back-to-back with LB. So LB gets the game against Detroit tonight. He's also on my list, number two. And you can make an argument that he should be number one because he's playing the first half of back-to-back, where Domingue is playing the second half of back-to-back, and maybe Tampa Bay won't be as good. And once again, you could also make the argument that Detroit's a worse team than Arizona. So whichever way you want to go there, they're 1-2. Domingue, either way, you're covered there. And I said, if you have to, if Grubauer is out there, you want him more for the long term to cover yourself week after week, so you don't have to keep worrying about this, but he shouldn't be out there in leagues.
All right, some pretty good options to navigate for fantasy owners out there. We thank you, as always. George, I'll let you go as we wrap things up with the waiver wire recommendations, and we'll talk to you on Monday's show, George. As George already sort of ran down the 11 teams that have the two games this weekend, and there's a few of them that have some nice schedules offensively speaking. You know, San Jose is a pretty tough team all around, but they haven't played at the top of their game, and Carolina started off their season well. So I kind of like them as a possible streaming option, playing San Jose at home and the Islanders at home. Obviously, the Islander game presents an even better opportunity to get some scoring done as well. The Islanders, in addition, both games are on the road, but Philadelphia and Carolina, two teams that have not had such great goaltending so far in this young season, so they would be a really nice team to look at in terms of streaming. And then the Winnipeg Jets playing Detroit and Toronto, both on the road, but both teams that you should be able to score against no problem. So with, I split the waiver wire recommendations up into two parts. A few players to recommend specifically for this weekend and a few players to recommend for looking at the week ahead, even though we'll talk about that on Monday show when we make recommendations. But for this weekend specifically, Brian Little, the Winnipeg Jets center, is only 14% owned on ESPN and Yahoo leagues on average. In the last six games, he does have 3 goals and 1 assist, averaging over 3 shots on goal per game, playing on that second line with Kyle Connor and Laine as well. And as I mentioned, you have Detroit and Toronto this weekend, then home and home against the Florida Panthers starting off next week. So you could get like a nice 4-game stretch, because even though I like the Panthers a lot, they are another team that hasn't started off the team playing particularly well. And with Luongo out and Reimer and Hutchinson not playing so well, it provides some offensive opportunity in addition. Also for this weekend, Anders Lee, the New York Islanders left wing, only 42% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues, but in the last 7 games, 2 goals, 3 assists, 15 penalty minutes, and 3 power play points, averaging over 3.5 shots per game on that stretch. And as I said earlier, playing Philadelphia and Carolina, 2 teams you should be able to score against. And then sort of a bridge player here that he'd be a nice pickup for this weekend, but I think also a nice stretch a little bit longer for a couple of weeks and maybe even permanent spot on your team, a guy we talked about earlier in the show, Chicago's Cahoon. He, at least in Yahoo leagues, is eligible in center, left wing, and right wing positions, only 4% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo. In the last 8 games, 1 goal, 6 assists, plus 3, a power play point, playing on the top line with Jonathan Toews and DeBrincat. You're playing a St. Louis team that is not playing well at all so far this season, and Edmonton this weekend, and then even looking into next week, you have the Western Canadian Swing against Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary, all on the road, but all of them are a little bit suspect defensively, so they could be some good options, a good option for you for next week as well. Looking ahead towards next week, and that's mainly because both these players just have 1 game this weekend, but Zibanejad from the New York Rangers, the center's only 52% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues. In the last 6 games, he's got 5 goals, 3 assists, 4 power play points, a shorthanded points, and averaging over 4.5 shots per game. Playing the LA Kings, that are not playing well as of late, offensively or defensively. And then next week, you look at that schedule, and it doesn't jump out at you as particularly great, playing San Jose and Anaheim on the road, but Anaheim, all the injuries, not playing well the last few games. San Jose, as I mentioned earlier, not playing at the top of their game. And then you end the week at home against Buffalo and bleeding into the week after that, starting off against the Montreal Canadiens. So when it comes to Zibanejad, you could have a nice 5-game stretch for a player who is pretty hot at the moment. Also, for looking towards next week, Max Domi, the Montreal center left wing eligible player, at least in Yahoo League, 6% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues, but in the last 5 games, 3 goals, 3 assists, 4 power play points, playing with Drouin and Lokkonen. And as I mentioned on our last show, that is a team, that is a line that has sort of been pulling together pretty well since they've been put together 4 or 5 games ago. We're playing Boston this weekend, and then Dallas, Washington, and Tampa Bay next week. You think you get a nice 3 or 4 game stretch out of Domi for a player who is also very, very hot at the moment. All right, folks, that's all that we have today, but stick with us every Monday, every Friday at 2 o'clock or later on, listening to us after we've recorded it, as most of you do. We're here both those days all season long and all regular season long. We'll have all your hockey information for you. Stick with us. Have a good hockey weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.